Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It girls, we the itch girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls,
welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all? Happy November, queens.
A lovely, fresh new month.
I mean, how crazy though. Like, I can't believe.
Oh, honey, time is flying.
The year that never was.
Time is flying when you're sitting around going, fuck off. Somehow, you think it would go slow, wouldn't
I
you?
I know, but it actually, I mean, that's the one saving grace, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
we speeding.
The last thing I need is more time. But girls, actually speaking of course, we all know we're back in lockdown and our UK girlies are as well.
Yeah, so we're all in this together. We have the month of November. We're sitting on our little horses doing our home workouts and listening to X-Gals podcast.
If you
have been tempted to join our Patreon, this is the time now. This is going to be your comfort blanket, your company. And when I say company,
it's C-U-M. But really, it does. I mean, because we have obviously our Discord, which every member of Patreon gets, which is an access to our like secret chat room. It's like a little an app you can get on your phone. You're chatting. It's fucking lit to the clit. And also now, great improvement of Patreon. We can now charge in dollar, euro and pound. So if you are an Irish customer or in the EU, you can choose to pay in euro. It's €5. And if you are a pound, likewise. So, you know, you're not getting all those annoying conversion fees, all of that kind of stuff. So it actually saves you a bit of dollar. But €5, Lindsay, right? Let me sell it to you.
Of coffee, hon.
Hey, literally in these days, cup of coffee, you're going to get a weekly podcast. You're going to get merch discounts. You're going to get a Discord access. And what else are we doing every Monday?
We're back on the live stream.
We had
baby.
To bring the streams back. We had to. They were so fun last lockdown. And it just means that, like, if you're an X-Gal, you get an hour-long live stream on a Monday. You get It-Gals on a Wednesday. You get X-Gals on a Friday. Then you have your weekend.
And you can be chatting throughout the week.
Exactly.
Girls and X-Gals. One of my favorite things about creating X-Gals and having this as a platform is the fact that you know you're going to get on with another ex-gal.
Yeah.
So through Discord, that's where you can actually get involved with the community and make pals. They have had little meetups when we were able to meet up. They've had their own Zoom calls. They just connect. There's all little subgroups on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
So loads of different things to talk about. And it's just really like a new way to make new friends. And what a better time. Like, why the fuck are we bothered hocking Tinder out of it to get what? A limp dick.
Exactly.
When you can be like going on Discord, going on X-Gals, listening, getting some tips. And making new friends.
Yeah. So girls, go over to patreon.com/itgalspodcast. As I said, €5. It's cheap as fuck. That's less than a pint. One single pint in a pub that we no longer have. So €5. And, you know, you can sign up for 1 month. If you don't think you can keep it for December or whatever, you can unsign up. It's only 1 month commitment, one self-payment. It renews at the start of the month. But for any OGs out there, just know that you can actually get an annual membership as well. So I think it's €54 for the year. You get a 10% discount when you sign up per year. So that could be something to think about upgrading to. It just upgrades your membership. Or if you're joining, and you can actually gift this as well. And people have been asking me how to gift it. What you would do is just set up like with a burner email and make a Patreon account for your friend. So like Christmas or something, perfect gift.
Such a good gift. Like Chris Kindle, perfect. Yeah. And like, hello, sustainable as fuck.
Yeah, sustainable as fuck, you know, and they'll be getting so much content. So girls, sign up, patreon.com/itgalspodcast. Who do we have on this week, hon? We've got another great guest. We've been banging at the guests lately, girls. We've been trying.
We have. So we have good old pal this week on It Girls. You know her, Carla Kay, Artistry from The Unpopular Opinion. We wanted to get her on to talk about the whole idea of 30 and turning 30 and kind of looking back on our 20s and like the whole idea, we thought, we were talking about like how kind of ageism exists very much in Ireland mm-hmm. and how we kind of like come up against that. And, you know, do we feel pressured as women with babies and mortgages and all that scary shit, and how you just keep your head on and know that, like, you know, you're on the right path. And then X-Giles, we have a sick guest coming up this Friday.
Oh yeah,
we have an English girlo, a new pal to the pod. She is an anonymous stripper. She has her own podcast and she told us tales
upon
sugar
tales.
Baby crazy shit was going on, and we just had like a deadly chat with her. So that's on yeah. X-Giles this Friday. But yeah, we're gonna get right into the one with Carla K now.
Yeah, Carla's was fab. As I said, we chose to talk on this topic because we know so many of you guys are probably turning 30 this year, coming into your late 20s, and this, if I had this when I was that age, I think I would have felt so much better. We're all in our 30s, and you know what a better way to start off with age, but the age that we're in. So tune in, gals, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Hey, guys, so we have with us a very sexy guest.
Very
who
sexy.
Who you all know.
Yes, but it's been too long since you've been on the podcast, it to has. Be honest.
And we're doing time. A Zoom moment with Carla K.
Hey, Carla.
Say hey, honey.
Hey, my angels. I really wanted to do the hey, gals with John Fuhrman.
Oh, okay, my God, we'll try. You want
to do it. So you go.
I just wanted to.
Okay so. Know. Hey, gals.
Hey, gals. Okay.
We'll try it again. So 3, 2, 1. Hey, gals.
I think the Zoom delay will not allow us to for it to be in sync.
This is so us being aunties again.
We're like, oh, we're
on
like,
the Skype.
How do you use Zoom?
It's so hard.
Yeah, Zoom fucked us up there as fucking always. Thank you, quarantine, for that lovely moment.
The tits are out for the Zoom.
Oh.
There you go. There you go, girls. Yeah. Spicing it up.
Big titty moments.
Yeah, no, it must be due my period.
When are you not due your fucking period?
I don't know. I feel like I'm always on the brink of just
Lindsay will have her period the next week. She's like, I think I'm due my period. I'm like, yeah, monthly. Cyclical.
Not for me.
I know.
Not true. For me and my weird period. Okay, so we thought that we would bring you on because we're going to start this new thing where we're discussing age. So I feel like ageism is very much exists in this country.
Age does exist.
Ageism.
Oh, ageism. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
Like, I constantly get bashed for not acting my age. You know, we as a duo do.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of 30, which you recently, when did you turn 30, Carla?
June this year. Yeah.
What's your star sign? Not that I
she's do a cancer. Know. She's a I'm cancer. A water girl. Yeah. We're water babies.
We've all had this moment. Remember, we had this moment before. We were like, whoa, another cancer. Because so many of our guests, you, Jess Brennan, our friend Jack, Adam, so many, they're always cancers. Every fucking one of them.
Wait,
can't get away from the bastards. So you turn 30. I'm turning 31. So I've just gone through my 30th year, which was fantastic. Thank you very much, COVID. But, you know, I think along with the age of 30, there are like a lot of expectations. It's kind of that first, it's the first milestone of age that kind of matters. Like your 21st is just like, yay, I can get drink in America.
Yeah, well, I think 20 was interesting because it was kind of like being a fake adult for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 30, it's like the expectations are greater. How did you feel like before turning 30 and then when you actually, you know, now that you're 30 and you're kind of in the thick of it?
So I think like my whole like thing around being 30 and age and stuff, like my friend group was real like rip you out of it for whatever age you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be like, oh my god, I can't believe you're 23. Oh my god, I can't believe you're 26. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And I'm the oldest girl, so I'm the first to go 30 out of the girls.
Okay.
All the lads have kind of gone 30, and Tom, my boyfriend, he's been 30. He's nearly 33.
Okay.
So he's been at it. He's been at it all. Well, now, you know,
same as myself, 33, beautiful age,
33,
all the threes, 33. Uh-huh. If I was a bingo caller,
yeah. So you all slag each other about age,
and it was always kind of one of those things. It was like, even when we were growing up, especially in school and stuff, it was like, well, I want to be married by 24, which means I'll be meeting him around 21. Which means I'll be having my first kid at 26.
Yeah.
So that's how that's going to go. Don't want to hear about it. Don't want to think about it. And then slowly but surely, your 20s start to dissipate.
Yeah.
Everything starts to fall apart. And all of your stuff that you thought was going to happen doesn't quite happen, does it?
Yeah, I know. So if we were to reflect in our 20s, actually my friend Yulia asked me this recently. She listened to our podcast last week, and in that a mutual friend of ours was talking about like when we were all 20 in our 20s and we were all living in New York, and she was like, I'm so glad we had that time. And she's like, our 20s were so fun and we were doing this and that. And I was like, our 20s were fun, but I'm actually really glad my 20s are over.
Are you?
Yeah. I like when I look back on my 20s, they were so much fun, and like they were definitely a decade of like kind of solidifying like a lot of friendships. Also, like, I mean, it is kind of like the decade of realizing things and like kind of getting to know yourself and like your personality, and you kind of like, you know, you kind of become more like, not much will change, I think, in your like morals and your ethics, you know, beyond 30. I think your 20s, you kind of figure that out, and you figure out like what you'll stand for in friendships or in relationships as well. But like, I definitely look at my 20s and I'm like, that decade was like quite completed for me. I found like, I felt like I was like, I'm actually at peace with letting that decade go.
Your 20s are your first decade of being an adult. That's the best way of thinking about it. Definitely. So it's your first decade of being an adult. It's kind of like your trial run. So you can kind of fuck it up a bit. You can do whatever. You can be whatever. And then I think that took a lot of pressure. Once I kind of realized that, it took a lot of pressure off me too, that I was like, okay, I don't know why it's like this big countdown. And in my head, it was such a countdown.
Yeah.
Because like we started quarantine, and the date of my 30th was the date that the country started back up.
Oh my God. So everyone was like, Carla.
God, that was a good day. But, I headed straight to the pub and had a porn star martini, and it just hit
it
different.
Was great. It was
so
great.
So fun. And getting served
I was
a
like
meal.
Hanging.
But what were your 20s like, Carla, out of interest? Like, what, when you look back on them, how do you reflect upon your 20s?
I think like, it's so funny because it's like my 20s pre-Tom and then my 20s post-Tom.
It's like BT and AD.
When did you meet him?
I'm like, I was 23. We got together when I was 24.
Oh my God, so young. I didn't know so you guys were together
young.
That long.
Same. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I never felt that I didn't get the run of it though. If you know.
Yeah.
Like I always felt like I was like, okay, I'm done now. I am done.
Yeah.
Because I was in a relationship at the age of 16, and it was kind of like on and off until I was 19, which was a big, like 3 years when you're a teenager is huge.
Yeah,
massive. Like that's
colossal. It's massive. And then
three
I was
years now
that,
is flipping massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was single for that nice portion of like 19-ish up until just about 24. So me and Tom started talking in the Feb. We got together in the September. And
where
I
did
went
you meet
24.
Again?
Tinder.
I love that. I remember that from your podcast. Unreal. You did an episode on dating apps, didn't you? And you talked about how you met on Tinder. So go over to The Unpopular Opinion.
I will.
If you want to listen to how they met. We want to hear the love story.
I love a love story.
I was actually the same as you though, Carla. I had a boyfriend from the same time, on and off, 16 to 19. I think I dumped him just 19. I was in first year college. And then I was single up until 25, I think it was, when I came back from New York. And I was the same. Like, even though, like, now when I think of it, like, my ex, like, I was with him from, like, obviously now I'm, like, 25 is so young, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. But I am, like, I still felt like I had the run of it. Like, I had a great old time single, you know, that way.
Yeah.
Great old time.
Yeah.
So before Tom, you were running around single. Then after Tom, were you kind of more settling into your latter half of your 20s?
So it was a bit of a weird one. Like, I dropped out of college twice.
Okay.
So I had a bit of a tumultuous time. In the meantime, I'd gone on a J1. And then me and my friends decided we were going to go back, and we were going to, there was all this kind of like there was so much commotion, I suppose. And I had kind of gone through a pretty shit year. And again, I was the only single one in my friend group at this point. And everybody was pretty kind of coupled up.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a weird one because I was kind of going through all that. And then everyone kind of started becoming single again when I actually got with Tom.
Typical.
There should be some kind of rules. It's so frustrating when like your friend group is imbalanced with like who's single and who's not, you know? And it does like, it's not even about like, oh, you know, say with our situation, like in our group, it's not even that like, I'm like, oh, I want to have someone there. It's kind of like sometimes stuff just gets lost in translation because the lifestyle is so different, you know? Like my sisters would be like, another guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm dating. It's called dating.
It's called fucking dating. Fuck off.
Literally.
Take this off me. annoying. But yeah, I felt like it was such a kind of, like, I feel like when I look back, I'm like, oh, why didn't I take more chances? But then when I look back and like, if, and sometimes you do have to do this, you have to reflect and be like, what did you achieve? Mm-hmm. And when I look at some of the stuff that I achieved, like I lived in this, I, you know, moved to a separate country. My job actually moved me, put me up in an apartment. That's basically unheard of. Like these kind of things. I moved to the UK. I moved to America for a time, like all of that kind of stuff. I dropped out of college twice, eventually completed college at the age of 25, you know, as a night course yeah. with my full-time job. You know, oh my God. I worked in town for 3 years, went out in the lash every single night that I could. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I kind of had that. I think actually this is probably, if you have younger listeners, get a job in town.
Yeah.
Probably not now. Probably not this year.
Yeah, not now.
But get a job. Yeah, not
so
now.
True. That's great advice.
A job in town was actually, yeah, a pinnacle of yours as well. That was when you, yeah. your first job was like proper, like full-time job was in town. I was only down the road.
I've never really had a proper job.
Well, you were a nail tech in Chop
yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Which is a proper job.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it was kind of part-time. But either way, it was so beneficial being in town.
Yeah, town is the best to work in.
And being like, you get so much more like knowledge about the streets. You're like, oh, there's a lovely new little restaurant opening just the end of South William Street. Have you heard about it, Mom? Your mom's like, what? No.
I know.
You know, and you just, you know, the same people. It's kind of like, you feel like a bit of an adult when you're working in town. You're bopping around, busy.
Yeah, well, you get to know the lay of the land. You know, I went to college in town as well, and then there was always, you could always tell people who like weren't in town a lot during college and stuff, because they're always like, oh, where is this street? Yeah. And it's like, I kind of, my mom is also a real like town head. She always worked in town, and she would always be dragging me in when I was a kid, and like she was always like, get a job in town, get a job in Arnott's. I worked in Arnott's for years and was in town, and you do just get to know, you get to know a lot of people. And if you're kind of you're always kind of seem to be hanging around, constantly around. You text like, are you around? Yep, I'm around.
Yep, okay, cool.
Yeah, or
end up at the pub with like somebody that you worked with, random brother's cousin.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, okay, cool, we're having pints, we're having pints.
You shag them.
Deadly.
That was the best time ever, just being like, and now I have maintained so many friendships from that, yeah. me just wandering around town picking up friends, that like still I can go into town and be like, hey, you in town? They're like, yeah, I'm in town. You in town? Yeah, we're all in town. We're in town.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then people
go Dublin city centre.
Yeah, we are in town.
What about your 20s, Lynn? Because obviously you had a very different experience of what myself and Carla would have had, you know, that way.
For sure.
When you look
sure.
back on your 20s.
So I was 20. Like yourself, Carla, I dropped out of college twice. I was in NCID the first time. I did sculpture and I was like, I don't think this is very me. Dropped out, had to like reapply to go into painting, got knocked up. So out of college, no degree pour moi, and didn't get that painting degree. Dear God, that would have helped me out in life.
Or the sculpture one. Yeah, God.
If only I'd stuck in college.
I mean, wasted 4 years.
You could have just done fine arts and became a makeup artist.
Yeah, yeah. I could have maybe become one of Macer's girlfriends if I'd continued into NCID, helping him with the murals. But no, I dropped out. Well, I got knocked up, left. So I was 20 pregnant, and then also I had my 21st pregnant. So that was fun. I was a weird child, I felt like, but was pregnant and had to pretend I was an adult. And then like, you know, had so much happen in my 20s where like had the baby, you know, stuck with the dad, you know, we were married. He was a shit fucking partner, like so stingy as fuck, like a mess of a human. Like, I mean, yeah. I was such an unpracticed, like I had gone from my man dad's gaff to living with my husband.
From dropping out of sculpture.
Yeah. And this bastard is like, I was more adult than him. And yeah. I was like, how the fuck am I more adult when you've been living on your own for like 5 years, you have a job and you're driving around and you're like, anyway, so that didn't work out. And then, you know, then I kind of had a chance. I felt like I had this chance, a second chance to kind of like grab my 20s by the ball sack, you know, girls. So I really had so much fun then. I was like, I'm not going to let, you know, being a ma define me, or, you know, feeling like I have to be a certain adult. And I've carried that throughout. So now I really do not have any care for age. Like, no, I was never, I made sure to never be like, you were saying that your friends are kind of like slagging about age. Like, I was never embarrassed about age. I never get that. Or I see some people like that I follow on Instagram. They're like, I cannot believe I'm 26. What the fuck? What the fuck? I'm like, how much of a basic bitch are you that you don't understand that every single person ages?
Yeah.
Like everyone. There's no way to like not have that exist. Yes, we can put on our wrinkle cream or whatever, but like you're gonna age. And I just don't understand how people are shocked when it's their birthday and when they're like, oh my God, I'm 33. It's like, yeah, you've lived 33 years. I failed maths and I still am not ever flabbergasted at age. And I think that first is something for yourself that you should kind of, I don't tolerate anyone slagging my age. I'll be like, slag them right back with a better slag usually.
Well, especially when they slag your age and it's like, you will be my age one day. You do know that. Like, you're not the one human being who's going to be inevitably not be 33.
And like, and I think people in their 20s very much baby themselves. Like sometimes if I'm like, I remember once I was having a back and forth with some other blogger. I was a blogger. And she was like, I'm in your 30. I'm like, you're 24. Like, what is the 30-year-old not allowed to fucking say, talk to it? Like, it's, don't act like you're a child. And I'm talking to this child. I feel like now the 20s decade has changed where, like, whoa, they are acting and excusing themselves for being like children. You know, look, I'm only 20 this, I'm only 20 that. It's like, you're an adult. Fucking.
I know. But then I think I kind of did that when I was in my 20s too, to an extent. Because you just, I feel like when you're in your 20s, you feel like you're just like in this, like, prime decade. And the 20s nowadays, you know, probably just more true to like so many different factors, but like you are still coming of age in your 20s, which is strange. Where like what our parents, like my mom when she was 28 had a fucking mortgage for 4 years, was married 5 years or something, and was pregnant with me,
but she was still coming of age. She
was, but I think you were just forced to like really, it was like excelled. You're adulting, if you will. I fucking hate that word, but like you were like, now society gives way more of a break, you know, and I'm not excusing it, but they do give more of a break to people in their 20s. Like people in their 20s now are like, they are like, I think now that everyone goes to college, you come out at like 22, 23, if you like stick it out from like, you know, after the leaving cert, and you're kind of like out of the womb at like 23. You know that way, and you're like, like, which is like, my mom literally got married, I think, at 23 or 24.
Yeah, but I was 21 getting married, and I was still a fucking child. You know, even though I was like actively doing the things that a like more of an adult person or someone in their 30s was doing, like I was walking down the aisle at 21. I was living with a husband. I was being a mother.
But I was still
very much like 20. But because I was those things, I couldn't really use age as an excuse. Mm-hmm. Do you know the way, like, I couldn't be like, I'm like this. I mean, I'm sure I did to my mom and dad when I'm like, babysit, I want to party, I'm young and partying. Little did they know that I'm still being to it fucking when I'm 33. But like, I think that just kind of, oh, it just taught me the lesson to like never use age. It doesn't matter. You can be whatever you want, whatever age you are.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny that you brought up like our parents' generation versus us, because I just think there is no more chalk and cheese situation than that.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the times, obviously, I come from a broken home. I come from a divorced home.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it's funny when I like look at my parents' situation, I'm like, they almost regressed because they didn't have that mad couple of years where they're allowed just fuck it up. where they were allowed to just do whatever they want. They didn't really have that communication. They weren't allowed to talk about their mental health. And if you did, it was a bit weird.
Yeah,
you know, there was all of that kind of stuff. And I find, like, it's funny, I feel a lot more of an adult now sometimes than even my own parents, because I'm like, I'm actually quite self-actualized.
I get what you mean. Like, well, because yeah, as I said, like their adulthood was just steamrolled. You know, the way it was, like, out of school, my mom, we got on our podcast a few weeks ago on X Girls, like, my mom has worked in the same job since she was 17. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, that's your job for life and you're not moving.
And my dad was the same.
Yeah.
He dropped out of college and found this job and just worked his way up, and that's kind of, but I don't think there's a better or worse. I think it's just like
general society.
Yeah. And like every generation is going to be totally shifted and different.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing about being able to look back. You're like, wow.
Where, how did you think, like, I'm trying to think of how I thought my 20s would have gone when I was, like, coming into them. You know, I remember, like, turning 21 and being like, I think I was, you know, just about finishing college. And I think I was like, this decade is going to be the fucking best decade of my life. I think I thought I was
for
20. For 20, I can't remember turning 20. I remember, like, finishing college, though. That was probably the one time I remember coming, because it felt like such a big break of freedom, because, like, coming out of college, you know, you're still in the education system. There's still like all
you don't have money.
You don't have money. You don't have, you've still have these deadlines. You still have all these fucking boring old farce telling you what to do. You know, I was just dying to be over that. Mm. And I genuinely thought it was going to be like Carrie Bradshaw. Like, I thought it was going to be like making like 60 G's by 25.
Tootling around Dublin City in heels, going on dates with different amazing men every night.
Into incredible restaurants and seeing the finest things.
Maybe just pop to a museum at the weekend.
Little I know, I'd be like lucky to be locked up some lane before Twisted Pepper literally. For like 3.5 years. Like, that was like the height of it.
I think I was more excited. I was so excited about turning 18. That was like,
oh yeah,
the best thing ever. And then as soon as I could drink, I was just like, what?
Who what cares? Changes?
But in school, I very much had the idea, especially because I was brought up in the church and I was seeing and visualizing like these constructs of age and how, you know, in the church, like couples would start going out at like 16 and then at 19, they'd be engaged, and not like a normal kind of more general engagement. Like, they'd be married in 6 months. They're not having like these year or two year long engagements. Like, they are,
they're fully engaged to be married.
They're engaged to be shagging. They're not shagging. So they're like, get up that fucking aisle. Which I get. I mean, like, I get, you know, you're, if you, like, if I had, you cannot have sex before marriage in my church. Like, I'll never.
Do any of them just sneak it in though? Like,
I don't think they do.
Really?
Like,
yeah. Guys,
I think they have to.
I hope some of them do. But like, I mean, I'm telling you, like, my youth leader got married at 19 years of age.
That's crazy.
Like, and they're still married for fucks to them. But like, they were getting married to have sex.
Mm.
Like,
would you marry for a shag? Would you be arsed?
I guess if you...
Without test riding.
Well, I guess if it's like instilled in your head, you know, that way that like if you shag someone who isn't your husband, it's like a sin, then you probably would. You'd be like, fuck it, you'll be my husband. Come on, let's go.
Isn't it just wild though?
Crazy.
Like, oh, it's so painful. Like, I mean, we all know girlies, I'm sure. Like, there are some fine looking bastards out there who are great kissers, like really nice lads, like we're so polite. As soon as they're in the sack, it's like, sorry, excusez-moi.
I guess those girls, I mean, sometimes like whoever you're shagging though, you might know the difference. Like the first shag I had, I can't remember if like how he had sex, but I'm sure I thought it was the fucking best thing ever once I started shagging the bastard. You know
what
I mean?
I did it backwards. I got with my, like I shagged, my husband got pregnant and then I had to get married. So it was kind of backwards.
Yeah.
But it was, he was the first person I had sex with. And then I had to, you know, I was married to him. But like, even though I hadn't had sex with other people, you know, 6 months into the marriage, I was like, it's like, you really are not going to ever give me a look out. Okay, that's weird. You dumped, you know?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't know, it's just weird. But like seeing those social constructs of like these different people getting married, I was like, okay, I guess I should do that. And I did. So it was kind of like, you know, I think a lot of people in school would have had these expectations of their 20s, but I actually did have that expectation and it did happen.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'll probably get married at like 21 and then like we'll save for a house. And like I did those things and I was like, oh, what the fuck am I doing? And why is no one else doing it?
Yeah.
Like in school, all the other girls were like, yeah, I'd probably get married, I'd say around 23, 24. I was like, yeah, I'm 21. And then none of them were.
Yeah.
I was like out here married in this, you know, all my other friends were like sucking dick down lanes. And I'm like, afternoon tea, anyone?
Why?
Anybody want to come with a pram?
Yeah. Is it buggy friendly, the club? Can I leave my baby in the cloakroom?
Did you have any expectations on your 20s, Carla, yourself, of how they would go?
Oh, for sure. Really? I was like, oh, I can't wait to be such a career bitch. Like, it's going to be cray. It's going to be insane. I can't believe that I'm going to have like my whole life set up by the age of 26. It's just mad. It's just wild. I can't believe that for me. And I think it is even funny the way that you were saying that about like shagging around and doing whatever. Me and Jen, we did a podcast and it was about, what was it? Oh yeah, it was about being in your 20s, mm-hmm. because it was my 30th birthday.
Okay.
And we were going through it and it was so funny because it was like the top 20 things that people wish they did more of in their 20s.
Okay, yeah.
And the only one that we agreed on was sleeping with more people.
No way.
Yeah, and it was so funny because we were like, yeah.
And do you think that's just because it's basically kind of gone now? You can't do that. Obviously, you can't do it in a relationship, both of you.
Yeah, no.
And long-term relationships.
In long-term relationships. And I think it's funny because I knew when I got with Tom, I was like, this is it now. Like, yeah. I even knew. I spoke about that on the podcast. I was like, I knew when I was getting with him that I was done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even funny looking back. I'm like, should have been more chancy. Oh, yeah, should have been more chancy.
I always think that too. And then I forget like all the years, like say me and Lindsay for a few years are like, we were going out and there was no dick schwang in our way. Like we were desperate for it. Like, so it's not even like I wasn't looking for sometimes. It was just not on there. And it was probably because we were actually just having too much fun out in our night.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And when I think back on like, I mean, I do get that because I think like when you think of your single years, especially when you're in a relationship, you're always like, oh, I could have got with so many more guys or like I could have had all these crazy experiences. But like, you have to think of all the what you were doing all those times that you weren't getting dick, and it was usually being out with your friends having a fucking laugh, you know, that way. And like, who's still around, the random like fellas or the girls, you know, that way. So like, I do think that like any of the nights where I turned down the ride or, you know, wasn't like out for just getting laid in my 20s, it's because I was having the best time ever with me pals, you know, that way,
and clubbing and stuff,
and like just making friends, and they were friends that I kept, you know. But like, I mean, it's always a thing that you're like, I could have fit a few more in there.
I think my friends with long-term relationships, they're always kind of like, it is. And I think everyone would feel like this at some point, like when you're in a relationship and you're like, what if this is the last person I'm going to ever kiss? Like, I'll not have any more first kisses. It is just a weird thing because it's so hard to think of the future like that, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you think about it though as well, and it's gas, because I remember like all those decisions where I'm like, right, I'm not going to ride you. Like, I've kind of decided in my head now, I'm not going to ride you. And like, even still to this day, I'm like, the fear that I used to have coming home in the fucking taxi, like all of the shit that you have to deal with, like the reason why I made that fucking decision would still be me now if I was single now. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know why I think that I would have went out and been this Lolita.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
I couldn't have handled it.
Yeah, because it would be worse to look back on and be like, you know, one or the other, but like if you were like way too like pulling back from guys even though you want to have sex with them, or if you were just having sex with you didn't want to have sex with, it's like at least you can look and you're like, okay, I'm still me, you know, that way. It's like the person that I was at 25, I'm pretty much still the same person, you know. You've kind of got yourself grounded in whatever you want, and obviously
it takes a while to break in the slut clogs.
Oh yeah,
like it does take a minute. Like it took me a good few fine tuning years to really release my inner like cheeky girly
beast,
you know, like because when I was because I obviously was married beast. And that was the only lad I'd shagged, then you know, broke up my marriage. I broke up with him, just saying,
having that on record.
And then I was like, oh wow, it's so weird, like when you get out of a relationship and you're like, I can shag whomever I wish, they just have to agree. And it took me a good couple years. Because when I was in a relationship for that long and like sex had meant so much to me because of my upbringing, any guy I'd get with then, I'd be like, great, okay, so marriage number two. And they were like, what?
I believe
so it.
So
it took me a while to...
I think it's the older you get. I think that's a part of a liberating thing of coming closer. Like anyone I've known who's been single coming closer to their 30s, and even how I approached sex later towards my life, I think you just realize like that, first of all, in dating, it's like, it's, you know, you can't take it overly personal. With the stuff that would like crush me when I was like 21, weeks crying, like by the time I was like 24, 25 even, I was kind of like,
let's talk about that, you know, for a minute.
Moving, I think, over.
Even dating in my 30s compared to dating in my 20s, like, whoa. Yeah. I needed to put down the Jacqueline Wilson novels. Yeah. Because like, I was insane dating at 20. I would fall so deeply in love after like two dates, one date.
Painfully.
One schnog in a club. And I'd be like, all I talk about is a lad. I'd be completely obsessed. I'd be like, and he likes this and he does this. And and then I wouldn't get a text back. And I'd be like, I mean, moments away from being wheeled into St. Pat's. Like, I would be inconsolable. Like, yeah. The kind of, I think you feel things so much more. Even with like friend fights or, you know, everything feels so final or something in your 20s. Yeah. Like, I think you're just unpracticed in like some arguments with like, you know, or just relationship ups and downs, because it's not the same as school. Because the fights get a bit more serious, maybe.
The fights get more serious. They become a little bit more adult, but you're not like mature enough, you know, for want of a better word. But you're not like, you haven't lived, or like, as you said, like, you're not as practiced as a person to realize that like, you can have really big fights with your friends and get over it. You can have really, you know, terrible breakups, which, yeah, like, the, you know, you've got more on the line if you get broken up at 24 versus 16. You know, that way you've probably spent a chunk of your 20s with someone you probably thought it was going somewhere serious and you're like, fuck. But that you'll also get over it. You know, you just you have to go through those like painful things in your 20s, I think, to be like, oh, it's the same bullshit as school. It's just more serious. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You're so like unexperienced with conflict as well. Yeah. It's just like, it's all or nothing. It's just constantly like, she's my best friend. Yeah. And I think the overthinking portion of your 20s is just through the fucking roof. Yeah. You're like, I can't believe this is, I thought she was going to be at my wedding.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have to redo my invites to my fella that I've been texting for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's like, so true. The conflict thing is so fucking true though, because you get so close to like, say, best friends in your 20s. Like, everyone always meets like someone in their 20s and like, it's like this new friendship, because you didn't know each other when you were kids. So you you don't have this innocence of like, we knew each other when we were six. You know, you meet and you're like both single, horny girls.
And you don't know each other's family as well. Like, if I have like my primary school friends or like my home friends, they all, you know, we all know each other's mums and dads, and they know us. You know, when you get in your 20s, that's when your mum's like, who are you going out with? And you're like, Jenny. And they're like, who's Jenny? You don't know her.
Yeah, she's this new friend.
She's
of mine.
My friend. You don't know her.
It's because you can be whoever you want to be, though, as well. Like, yeah. I remember that. I was like, I don't actually have to bring all of my teenage trauma with me into this friendship. Oh my God, that's crazy. I don't actually have to talk about the fucking deepest, darkest things in my life. Oh my God, that's wild. So let's be friends.
Yeah. Or your friend, you know, sometimes like your secondary school friends, they know too much embarrassing shit about you. Sometimes when you're trying to flex in town and be cool,
you are a loser.
They're like,
you are
do you not remember? And you're like,
you're like, fuck off. They're like, you don't smoke. I'm like, yeah, I do 20 a day, hon. Fuck off. Yeah. This is my town personality.
Your mom would kill you. It's like, shut up. Shut up. Shut up and let me be cool in town with my new mate.
You're like, that's really weird. I love cocaine.
Yeah. By the way, my friend's gay as well. Do you have a problem with that as well, Sandra?
Yeah.
Because that's so the turning point. Like, I remember like my secondary school friends when like, you know, we started going to college, and like even like older now, like, I mean, just the different paths of life. Like, they're like, so what goes on like in the night? You know, like, they're just, sometimes I'll say something that they're like, what? There's coke at those parties? I'm like, well, yeah. What do you mean? Yeah. And what, she's like,
what do you guys have at your parties?
Do you think they're on coke? They're on coke. And I was like, of course. You know those friends that you're like, oh, I'd never in front of that friend.
Gosh.
I was that friend.
Oh, really?
I was that friend that no one would do drugs in front of. Fully, I was that friend.
Are you anti?
Like, it was so fucking funny. Not even that. So like, I had this friend group when I
not that
was...
I'm pro, by the way. You're anti-drug.
You anti? I'm a big pro drug head myself.
But I was that, I had this group of friends, and they were the most judgmental bitches in the entire world. And like, it was one of those things, they were like my friends in school. And you also have to remember, I went to the Institute. So I thought I was shit hot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the Institute.
Shoddy.
So I thought I had like
Institute
my whole
kids were cool though. Like, you even got a year ahead of me on town and college. Like the Institute kids in college were like, will we go for here for lunch? Blah, blah, blah. Like they're always like hanging out in fucking Marion Square and shit. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, smoking. Yeah, few joints. But like that was the sauce. But then my friends from school followed me into sixth year. So all of them ended up leaving our school and coming into sixth year. So I kind of went back onto that. And that's when I met like my best friend now. And that was when she was like, when she told me afterwards, I remember one time she kind of sat me down. She was like, now there's a lot of drugs going on. It's like, what? She's like, there's drugs everywhere now.
Oh.
Okay. There's drugs. There is drugs. And I was like, right, okay. And she's like, no one ever kind of wanted to let you know because you were always known for kind of hanging out with that crew and having opinions.
Okay.
You know? And I was like, oh, right, okay, that's, you know, whatever. And then by like 23, I was like, fuck it up.
Yeah, you just get over it.
That is also, yeah, that's like, the thing of the 20s when like, I mean, because in my first, like, you know, half of my 20s, I was very anti.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would have been around them, but I just never would have gone near when I was petrified. Yeah,
you weren't judgmental though, I will say that, for never to.
Thank you.
Not that I was participating, I'll have you know.
Queens you each other's crowns.
Yes, straightening that crown. But I think it is, there's a lot of growth within like, say, friendships in the 20s. And, you know, I think like we were saying, when you have these new friends who aren't as rooted in your past,
mm-hmm.
like say when Jenny and I had our fallout, it was such an immature way for us to deal with it.
Yeah.
We were in our 20s. We were like super close. And then, you know, it was a miscommunication that we did. We could have just squashed, but like, no, we were in our 20s. We are going to ignore each other and for like a certain period of time.
Yeah. I think when you're, what happens is with that first big friend fight in your 20s is that you want an adult friend and you want to have like, you know, enjoy adult things together, like going out and whatever the fuck else comes along with it. But then something that can like throw a huge spanner in the works is like something else adult happening, like one of them getting a very serious boyfriend, and all of a sudden you can't be like the teen friends, but with the freedom of being a 23 or 4 year old who has like, you know, a bit of fucking money going from their shite job or whatever it is, you know, that way. And I think you have to kind of play catch up a bit to that, where you're like, oh, okay, like we can be really close, but there's probably like, you know, it's not like when we were 16 where like your friend would get a boyfriend and you just end up going out with the boyfriend's friend just to keep it easy.
Yeah,
you know, the way it's like all of a sudden your friend's like, oh, I'm moving in with my boyfriend. You're like, what? Like,
it is strange.
You know?
And so I mean, you're trying to play catch up with like, I mean, even, you know, I think in the 20s, we all had that girl who would get in a relationship and you wouldn't hear from her till that prick. You want to hear what he did, girls? Yeah. Like, oh, hello. Haven't seen you in 2 years.
Yeah.
And now you're like, we're suddenly best friends again. But I think, you know, you kind of cotton on to stuff quicker in your 20s. But there are all those things that you're picking up and you're figuring out. And then in the 30s, like now that I'm 33, like conflict is so much more manageable from what I've learned in my 20s.
Because you're used to it.
Yeah.
Because you've done it.
And you know it's not a big deal.
Every form.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to get over it. And I feel like it is more of a woman's thing.
Yeah.
Because we have those kind of cattiness. We have those kind of friend groups. And you do. Sometimes you just take the hump with your mates for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
You just take the hump. You're just fucking fuming with them.
More stuff can get lost in communication with women, I think. Because men are just so like upfront and also don't overshare as much as we do. Like they don't, they just don't know. I know Joanne McNally has a really funny bit about it where she's like, my boyfriend would go to the pub and he'd be there for like, you know, he'd go and he'd come back and he'd be like, she's like, how's your friends? He's like, I don't know. She's like, you've been gone 2 days with them and you haven't even asked them. Hey? Like, what's John doing? And he's like, don't know.
But like even when like if I have a date, constantly my sisters are like, so what does he do? I'm like, I don't talk like that to guys.
Yeah.
You know, I do think there definitely is a different communication with men.
Yeah, definitely.
Like even for my lad friends, if they're talking about their guy friends, they're like, yeah, he seems a bit off. I'm like, oh, what's he doing? Sending a lot of dick pics. I'm like, okay.
Weird.
So that's the barometer of how he is, like, and they'd never ask, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I think
but they don't give fuck.
I think they don't know how to. If they ask and then they know, then they're like, "What do we do now?" Where girls are very much more like, it's the motherly instinct of being like, "Okay, if I know that my friend is
We're nurturers.
Yeah. If she's like dealing with something difficult, we'll all gather around and be like, right, so first block him. Now we need to get the sexy pickup on in the gram. You know, like yeah. we have our little.
Well, overall, I think we have, you know, and, you know, obviously there's like guys have really close relationships. But I think overall women get, on average, would probably get like way more involved in each other's lives than like male friends would. And that means that then you can have way bigger fallings out because you're so involved in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, every single aspect, every fella that didn't text her back. So then, you know, it's
and
like,
they come up in the fight.
Yeah,
so like,
exactly.
Now I get why Sean didn't respond.
I think coming in when you're once you're 30, you realize that like, I feel like when I would fight in my 20s, I would like have a confrontation to fight with someone. But now in my 30s, if I'm having a confrontation with someone, it's to like resolve something.
Resolve it. You want that. You want the resolution.
It's not just like, you know, I'm right. You fucking annoyed me and I want to let you know that you annoyed me. Mm-hmm. It's more like, you annoyed me. Let's not happen again. But I can understand.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah. Let's figure
everything
it out.
Can get, I think, yeah, for my 20s, I did learn as well. Like everything can get figured out.
Yeah.
You know, you can't like, because sometimes I think in your 20s, when you're having more intense fights, and you're in the midst of this argument, you're like, this is a friendship ending argument. The shit that we have said. But you know what? You forget.
You do.
You get over it. You forgive and you forget.
You just get over it. You have to laugh at it as well. Sometimes you're like, Jesus Christ, we went in.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, that took a turn.
So if we're going to talk about our 30s then, mm-hmm. we've reflected on our 20s. What a fantastic year, decade, year. Now we're all in our 30s. Were you, did you have fear? You had fear turning 30, did you? Because you were the first one of your friends.
I was dreading.
Really?
Yeah, I dreaded it so much. I had such a, like, again, like last time that we'll reflect on the 20s, but because my 20s was like, I went from dropping out of college into working in town. And like, when I start a job, I don't just start a job, I like graft until I'm, you know, like I was a manager in Lush, like I didn't go in to just do my little funky thing. Like it was always one of those things. I was always quite serious when I got to it. All my friends were in college. And then I decided to kind of step back from that. I was sick of town, sick of all that. I decided then I was going to pursue makeup. So I flipped my industry, went in, started as a part-timer, worked my way up to full-time, worked my way up to manager, worked my way up to regional mentor, then got transferred to the UK, opened up the stores over there, then was a trainer. Mm. And I was the youngest trainer on my team. Everybody else was 30 or in their 30s. And it was one of the things, I was always the I was always the younger one. It was like, oh my God, I remember when I was 26. You know, I remember when I was 26.
Yeah.
It was always one of those things.
I loved that. I loved feeling young in the job. You're like, hee hee.
Yeah. And there was one girl, she was a coordinator and she was 23 or 21, I think. And I was like, I'm the baby. Fuck you.
Oh,
gosh. there was that whole thing. And then I was like grafting and I was, you know, it was a regional role. So I was Irish based, but I took care of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Isle of Man, super place, and Scotland. But everything I did was in London. So I used to take like 3 or 4 flights a week. And I was like, I'm a working girl. Yeah. Let me go.
That must have been so fun. Did you feel like Lauren Conrad?
You must have.
I was so knackered and I was gassed because at that point, one of the girls on the team, she was going through a really rough breakup, 8 years. He'd been cheating. They just bought the house. Like we were in for the whole fucking, you know. Everybody in the office in the background.
Yeah.
That
sounds like hell. But yeah. I do love that in a job when everyone's like,
yeah.
Dying to go into work to get the gossip.
When there's some shit going on in work, it's great.
It's what really binds you as a team, you know.
And she'd have like the screenshots of the photos and then she'd be like, he fucking made her get an abortion. And we'd be like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
So like every week there'd be something new and I'd be like on the flight over. Like,
God bless those girls. They're really just, they're the gift that keeps on giving. Those girls that are like, every time you see them, you're like, I'm going to get some. And they're like, well, wait till you hear what I got up to the weekend.
I love those bitches.
Oh my God.
And you'd be like, ah. So that was it. And it was just it was one of those things that I was like, I can't, like we ate in great restaurants, but we were always too fucking shagged to like do anything afterwards. We'd be like, do you want to go to a club? Not really. I think the most exciting thing I did was we ended up Drake's after party one night, which was fucking brilliant.
That's a pretty good one.
I was in plims and a jumpsuit, please remember. Plims and a fucking jumpsuit. There's photos of me. I had my glasses on.
Like, typical.
I was like, of course, tonight's the night.
Yeah.
Why do they have the good parties after? Like when we were at that, was that Skepta?
Yeah.
The Skepta after party. If it was before, I would have looked good. Because it was the after party, I was like bleh, bleh, rolling around, like embarrassing myself. Like,
I was smoking joints, thinking I was like
Snoop Dogg,
Rick Ross over here,
taking the grunt
off his bodyguard. I was taking joints off his bodyguard, like, yes, let me smoke this J. Like, I thought I was, and looking back, even there's videos now, and I'm like, just please, just fucking, like, and it's, we weren't allowed our phones in the club, so there's only videos of. And me after.
Gas.
So it's like Carla at 12, Carla at 6 a.m. There is no in between. Like, there's just me being like,
that's probably better. I hate seeing the kind of like, you know, how
the
map of my night where I'm like, oh, okay, it was that drink.
It was that specific straight vodka that
I can just see, like, my skirt being hoisted up more and more as the night goes on, and my lip liner becoming closer to my nose. Like, you know when you're doing lip liner drunk, and you're like, it actually is so good when it's overdrawn, really overdrawn, and I'm going down on my chin.
So because you were so busy then, Carla, did you kind of feel like your 20s ran away from you, maybe the latter half, especially when you were like working that busy old job?
Definitely. I think it was like I was 26 and then I was 27, and I remember those birthdays like really like a lot. 26 was my worst birthday. We were kind of going through a bit of a transition in the L friend group. You know, there was a lot of conflict. Nobody really wanted to deal with it. I seemed to be the only person who was like equipped to deal with it. And it was really shitty. And I remember when the opportunity came for me to go to the UK, I just didn't even think about it, but I didn't tell any of my friends either. I told them like a week before I went. I was like, by the way, I'm moving and I don't know for how long, and this is the crack. And it was kind of one of those things where everybody was like, what the flying fuck?
What age were you then?
The exact break that I needed.
Yeah.
I was 26.
That is hilarious. Yeah, by the way, I'm moving and you'll never see me again.
Yeah, bitch.
I was like, I don't know if I'm coming back. You need to treat me better. Anyway.
I'm moving. You drove
me out of the country, girls. Well done.
Well done.
Make a statement. Drop the mic.
Had you worried about turning 30 then? If you had quite like an intense time in your 20s, were you just like, oh no, now I have to pretend to be an adult even more now that I'm going to be 30?
See, then came the leaving of the job and the traveling.
Yeah.
And that was very late into my 20s. So I landed in Brazil on my 28th birthday. 26 to 28 could have been 10 years within 2 years, because it was such an intensive, insane 2 years. We decided 12 weeks before we decided to go traveling that we were going. And I remember like sitting in my bed, booking it and being like, oh my God, I've just paid $8,000. Oh my God, I've just placed $8,000 into something I've no idea if it's going to work out or not. Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's good.
And I still hadn't registered in my brain that I was actually going.
That's scary.
And it was the weirdest thing ever, because like it was something that Tom had always talked about. Oh, I always want to travel. I always want to travel. And it was so funny, because the week before we left, me and my friend were driving and she was like, we always say we're going to do these things, Carla, but we never actually do them. And now you've actually gone and done it.
Yeah.
And we were like, ugh.
And you're like, fuck.
And I was a nervous wreck. Like, I was shitting a brick.
Well, they say you become a more nervous traveler the older you get.
Yeah, that's definitely happened for me. Anytime I'm in a plane, I'm like, this is going to get bombed. This is going to get bombed. This is going to get bombed. And I'm like, and when I was a kid, I was like, planes, yes, plane food, yes.
I was literally like, oh my God, I have to fly to New York and then I have to fly to London, then I have to fly to New York and then I have to sit in fucking New York and then I have to fly 10 hours down to Brazil. I'll be flying for 22 hours, all this other shit. What's going to happen? What if I hate it? What if this happens? What if that happens? And Tom was fucking chilling. He was like, oh, I've packed a few t-shirts and a hoodie. And I was like, do you have your malaria medication? Have you bought travel insurance? Yeah. What about this? What about that? Our travel insurance won't cover us if we're in this situation. What about all of this crack? We're going to be going through different weathers. He was like, yeah, I've got trainers and I've got a few pairs of shorts. Not many.
Classic.
And I'll put one moisturizer and that'll just do everywhere. For as long
God
as
God to
there.
Be a man for like a week. Just for a break.
So how long were you guys traveling for then?
So we went for, I think it was just 5 months or so, just about.
Okay. And then you moved back to Ireland was it?
Move back into me fucking dad's gaff. Yeah, it was and very crack.
I say, yeah. So then I say that would feel kind of like after having so much like independence for so long. And then I'd say moving back home then and being in your later 20s, mm-hmm. do you think that like made you dread turning 30 because you felt like you were like had taken like a step back, even though like you of course hadn't.
Yeah.
But I think it can you can play those games in your own mind where you're like, I'm back in my parents' house, and it can be like this big made up fucking rule in your head.
Or like you're letting, sometimes I'm like, you know, am I letting my, if my younger self could see me now, would she be happy?
Yeah. Is this the Carrie Bradshaw lifestyle I thought I was gonna live?
But I always think, like, how many times have we sat down as a person and been like, if I could just see myself in 1 year's time?
Yeah.
Like, whether you're getting over a heartbreak or whether you're getting over, you know, a friend issue, or whether, you know, you hate work or you're trying to apply for new jobs, and thank fuck I could never see into the future.
Yeah.
Is all I'll say. Because, oh my God, I would have been like, what the flying fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You are back in your dad's gaff. I thought you were buying a gaff. I thought you were buying a house this time. Why are you in Brazil? Like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And that was such a kind of like, I'm so glad now. I'm like, I actually don't want to, I never want a crystal ball. I'd hate to see into my future, because you kind of just have to let it happen. But I had to start again. I had to find a brand new job, just decide what industry, because I decided once I got out of makeup, that was it. I was like, I'm fucking done. I'm never working in beauty again. I hate makeup. I hate people. I hate all the things that made me love it. Like, I literally, it turned me off it to a point where I think I have PTSD sometimes. I'm like, I fucking hate this.
What a beauty blender. You're like, what are you doing here?
That's my trigger.
Yeah, I'm like, for fuck's sake. And that was it, because like coming home, you know, my friends had started buying houses and getting engaged and all that crack. And I was like, no job yet. Still looking though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I remember that as well in my later 20s. I was still working in marketing and stuff, but like, I remember having such like shame over living with my parents. Like, because I think it's, and it's all made up in your head. It's a complete construct, you know, the way of this whole, like, you have to be living outside of the home for like X amount of years, or like beyond 25, it's just embarrassing to live with your parents, you know? And then like, but there is that weird kind of like, I guess it's just, you know, I remember saying it to my mom and I was like, it's not that I don't like living with you, you know, I was like, I don't want it to be like offensive to you, but I was like, it's just, and she's like, look, I totally get it. She's like, I had my own fucking house at 24.
Yeah, you're like, okay, rub it in there, Mom.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Twist the blade there, mommy.
How much is the house again? 30 grand? Okay, right. Case settled. But, you know, she was like, I get it. You want like to build your own life. And that is the kind of feeling. And I think that can be the reason that we put that milestone at like the age of 30, of like owning a house at 30 is like this new kind of
It's milestone. A weird one with the like living with parents thing, because it's either that you leave your parental home at like say 25, and mostly like 25 year olds would be renting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm either going to be paying like fucking crazy money that will never, it's so hard to configure and be able to like, what one am I okay with? Am I okay with renting? Because I think you have the same kind of almost, there's shame around renting as well. Like,
which
is so annoying. You know, sometimes people just,
you're throwing your money away.
I never rent. How much? And people just rent, constantly just ask you how much your rent is.
Yeah.
How much are you paying for this place? I'm like, hello, plumber. Can I just
can I exist, please, in my home? I know it's, I mean,
like my Tesco delivery guy fucking is like, really? How much for this place? I love it here. Great view. I'm like, yeah. But I don't really want to be saying it. Like, it's kind of a personal thing. And then if it's too high, people are like, you're not paying that.
You're mad.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus, it's ridiculous. These are, you're like, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, okay. So there is different shames with both. But I think, I mean, obviously it's such a weight of stress for our generation to buy a home, because like you were saying, like your parents and my parents bought a home and it was so much more obtainable. You could buy a home with one wage coming in. Like,
had to be married though.
Yeah.
Like, my mom would have been happy not to be married, but if she was like, we couldn't get a mortgage, they would be like, so hold on, you're a man and you're a woman and you're going to be buying what? Like, they would not.
But it still seems similar. Like, I mean, I would find, like, I mean, I feel like it's, I would, you know, fucking would be handy as hell if I find a lad to go halvesy-halvesy on a bleeding mortgage.
But you wouldn't have to marry them.
No, I know that part, like, but I'd still have to find a bloke to fucking,
oh yeah,
that I could handle being around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, difficult, but so fucking hell, that went real dark there for a minute. But yeah, I think the shame thing is so weird. And then you're like 30 and I'm like, why the fuck? I remember like when I became 30, the one thing I did think, I was like, why didn't I save more in my 20s?
Yeah.
Why didn't I start saving at 20? Why am I doing this at 30?
You could do it all day. You could do it all day. Sure. Like, I love to bring it back to the fact, I'm like, I used a house deposit to go traveling. Yeah. But what were you doing before that? Yeah. What were you doing money before that, hon? Oh yeah, it was in fucking River Island bags. Like, that's yeah, what it was.
It was like,
yeah,
it was like, because you get your job or whatever your fucking job is in your 20s, and you're like, oh, I've all this money, and every single penny of it I can spend.
Yeah.
Every damn penny of that will be gone.
You can finally get, because
guess
stuff.
What, I get paid again next month.
Yeah, I know. Especially when I was getting paid weekly, that shit is wrong.
Oh, that was really
dangerous.
Dangerous. Yeah, I remember that was terrible. That you never can save on a weekly wage, because it's just like, by the time you're broke, you're like, Fridays in 2 days. Who gives a fuck? Woo!
Yeah, exactly. Know? And like, I mean, yeah, as well, you're able to buy stuff that your mum and dad were like, if you were like, Mammy, can I please have those Miss 60 jeans? Please, Mammy, please. And she's like, how much are they? £95. And she's like, what? And now you're like, guess what? I'll just eat coca noodles for the whole week and I'm getting my £95 with 60 jeans.
So when you turned 30, Carlo, did you have it like the fear alleviated? Because I found that like when I was coming up to 30, when I actually had the fear more so turning 30 when I was like 27, 28, I was really fuck. Like I was like, everyone is always like, oh my God, I'm in my later 20s. Like, you know, you feel older. You feel like the world is catching up on you a bit. You're kind of like, I remember just being like, I still feel 22. I'm 28. What the actual fuck? And I was starting to get like those expectations by myself put on me. But, you know, the expectations were there. And, I remember talking to my friend Kim, and she was a bit older than me when I worked in makeup as well, randomly. And she was saying to me, like, she was probably about 33 and I was about 27, 28. And I remember being like, I can't believe I'm turning fucking 30 soon. And she was like, Jenny, the minute you turn 30, you'll be fucking delighted. She was like, I was dreading it for years. And she was like, I'm telling you, she's like, the fucking day I turned 30, it was like these shackles being lifted off me. And she was like, and now I had, she's like, nothing happened. She's like, I had a great time in my 20s. But she was like, after I turned 30, you know, then she got engaged. And then she got, you know, all this like stuff that she was like, once she kind of stopped having all these like years of when something should happen, all these expectations, she was like, I had the best time in my early 30s. She's like, the last few years have been way better than any year in my 20s, you know. That way. And I felt the same. I mean, obviously I'm only turning 31, but like by the time I came like 29 and then turning 30, I was like, bring it on, bitch. I'm ready for my 30s. 30s are sexy. I feel
I really personally. Really love 30s. I feel like, I don't know, I think what I love about your 30s is that you, like, it's just kind of, it's sexy. I feel like just more above my 20-year-old self. Mm-hmm. I feel like an elevated version. I'm like looking at my 20-year-old self. I'm like, you fucking dumb bitch. You didn't know how to do your hair or your makeup or talk to guys. You were making a goddamn show of yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe that job in town wasn't so good, because now everyone in town knows how you were fucking scarlet. You were crying about lads. You were like, you know, wearing mad clothes, mad makeup. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but I thought I did. And that was, so I was going around with this, like, you know, badass attitude. I was like, So then I had, in my 30s, I was like, actually, you're kind of cool now. You kind of, you get it now.
You own yourself, I think.
And
more.
You see 20-year-olds bopping around being like, yeah, I fucking am this badass bitch. And like, you know, you're like, oh God.
But
that
it's also
so
like,
me. That was so
you
me.
You see yourself in that though. You're like, oh, you know, that way it's like you will turn 30 and look back on this. But did you feel that at all? Like when you got into your 30s, were you like, oh.
I was. So it was such an anticlimax because, I mean, it was lockdown. So I'm like, I'm 30 next year. I'm not 30 this year. I'm 30 next year. Next year will be the 30th birthday party. You know, for real.
Yeah, we can all just forget about this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, I'll be on my boat in Croatia next year. Didn't happen to be this year, unfortunately. And I do, because Tom always said it to me, he was like, you go 30 and you don't care. You just forget about it. It just doesn't become a thing. He's really give a flying fuck. And I think a lot of it is as well that like there's a lot of people that put like big events on age. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to be married by the time I'm 30. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Like,
are you going to be at your 30th wedding anniversary being like, I'm actually raging I got married at 31 instead of 30.
Yeah.
Now we're 29 instead of 60. So that was important to me.
Yeah. I mean, like, exactly. You know, like, you put these arbitrary rules on, like, dates of, like, I mean, now I realize, like, when I buy a house, it'll be deadly, full stop. It doesn't matter whenever. If I'm fucking 31, if I'm 41, if I was 25, of course that would have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, like, it also doesn't matter because it's good no matter when you do it. It doesn't matter about your age.
And even so, I think sometimes, like, the later it is, you appreciate it so much more. Because, like, I know some people, like, from the church who would have bought houses really young and they just turned into, like, little mammies and that. Like, they really, I'm like... When you kind of have a bit more ambiguity to age and don't like put these like marker points down of like when you're going to get your shit together and mm-hmm. be with your husband and live in your home and stuff like that, you can do what you want and have loads of fucking fun. And like, you know, I think you were saying that your granny always said that she felt like 20 something, didn't she?
16.
She was 99. Like I feel, and I get so much hate about the way I dress, that I dress like a teenager, that I act like a teenager. Maybe so, but like, you know, I can act like, I think it is important, no matter what age, to have like that childlike little playful energy within you. Like you can still like, yeah. you know, have your shit in order, like, you know, be saving, have prospects, be like doing a good job, being a good friend and man, all that kind of stuff. But also you can go and like, just like let loose and be acting like a young person or whatever. Because like, that's made up. It's made up to be like, the idea of an adult is made up. Like, where does that come from?
But it's also made up to settle you, you know? Yeah. And I feel like myself, there's been loads of times that I've made derogatory statements probably about age, you know, where I've been like, you're a bit old for that, or you're a bit young for that, or blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's been plenty of times. But I find with like what you were saying, Lindsay, like you're a hot ma. It doesn't mean you're a hot man in the same sentence. You're hot, you're also a man.
Yeah.
You don't have to like, not everything that I'm has agreeing. To be
yes,
exact
yes.
same. So, so like when you want to have a can, it doesn't, it's not like, but you're a ma. It doesn't have to be like all or nothing all the time. Or like, well, you're married now. Or, you know, you're set, you have a boyfriend or any of this kind of shit. And I feel like people that say that are generally just acting out on like what they feel like they've missed. Because even myself, I feel like I'm like, oh, why didn't I do that when I was single? Because it would just would have been easier to just up and go and move to fucking Dubai. Not that I'd ever go there.
But I totally agree, because I think it's like, you know, whenever, because I think everyone's guilty of it, you know, like everyone could have been like, I'm the age for her doing that, or someone that you look at and you're like, what the fuck is she at? And a lot of the time people who specifically would put it onto Lindsay, because like, first of all, there's a difference between like, you know, well, you're a mom, you should be doing this way. And then just like general maturity as in like your life is together, as you were saying, Lindsay. Like, you know, you're not like, when I think of someone who's mature, I don't think of someone who's 30 married with a house. I think of someone who has like, their morals in order, they're reliable, they're, you know, not running themselves into debt every week. Like they're immature actions, because like you're not being responsible. Like responsibility is maturity. They're really just like synonyms, you know, that way. And obviously the older you get, the more responsibility you have to take on, because all of a sudden you have this apartment and kids and you're like, okay, I have to answer for this 6-year-old now or whatever
and
it
bills
is.
And whatever.
And bills and all that kind of shit. But like we have this also this social expectation of maturity where it's like, you hit this age or you become a mother at no matter what age, and all of a sudden you're expected to act like a 42-year-old at the school gate. And if you don't, you're wrong and it's bad, instead of it's different, you know, that way. And I think that that's, it's always projections of other people's insecurities. I mean, there's no other way of putting it, you know, that way. And like, even if like, as you said, Carla, like if I be like that as well, you know, like, you know, like some single person, like, oh, fuck's sake, like, you know, what's she doing that when she's single? It usually comes from a thing of like, you know, every single human being has like, not even regrets, just little things in your life. They're like, fuck's sake, I should have done that, you know?
Or even that, like, it's annoying sometimes when there's things that you can't do.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
No one should do them. Like, you know, the
way you do get annoyed. But even like, Lindsay, when you'd like put into the group chat some of the shit that you do, and I'd be like, oh, I wish I was texting him now just to tell him to fuck off.
I'm usually telling you like the bad. I'm only telling. Do you know what? Girls do that. Like if I have a good date and Jenny's like, how was your date? I'm like, eh, grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if I have a bad situation, I'm like, girl, this guy's fucking crazy.
That's the goss.
Yeah.
Know, that
and
way.
That's the fun of it. And then it's so funny that even though I'm like, this guy's insane, you're like, dear God, I wish I had that. I'm like,
no, I'm like, oh my God, as I lie there beside my fella, I'm like, the fucking excitement of being able to tell.
It's the excitement of blocking a guy.
Yeah, there is loads of excitement, you know, that way. And it's like, the grass is always greener in certain things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, totally.
Like, you're always going to look at someone else's situation, but like to tie that to an age or like the maturity thing is always thrown at me and Lindsay. And I'm like, you like to like rant on like me and Lindsay are like this teen that the two of them have refused to grow up. I'm like, how have I refused to grow up? We both live in our because own gaffes.
Apparently because we wear denim shorts.
It's like, literally, but that
and I'm like, go out drinking.
So trivial. You're so trivial that you're putting it down because I like a can and I like to get my hot body out. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't really make sense to
I always like, find it weird.
A low-cut top.
It's like I don't wear a bra once and all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, get a fucking grip, you, huh? You're 30 years of age.
It's very, I don't know if this is the same with other countries, but it's very revolving around alcohol and what you choose to. Like, my mum and dad would have a glass of wine every night. But my mum, if I come over, I go over every Thursday for prayer night and I bring some cans and she's like, have a glass of wine. She doesn't like to see cans. She sees cans as, I don't know what, but like I've been in that situation. Like when I worked in Tropical Popical, I remember like we were having drinks in the shop, like for some party one night. And one of the girls was like, classy, you're drinking a can. And I'm like, classy, you're drinking wine. I am not in any way classy when I'm on wine. Wine, first of all, is like higher percentage, but it's a weird snobbery around alcohol and age and something like that.
Mm-hmm. And I like think they associate it with like drinking in a field sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
And that's his whole like, I mean, what, you want me to be rocking around on the streets with a homemade porn star martini?
Yeah, like...
yeah. I mean, it's like when you go to places and you're like, where's the cans list? Like, yeah. I don't want the wine list. What other things do you do? And they're like, this is a wine
or
bar.
Even like lockdown, like I was getting a lot of hate for like having drinks outside. Since when does an age have to be like that you can't drink unless it's in within walls?
I know they have
these made up fucking rules.
Rules are like, well, it's just this whole acting like a teenager, doing things and it's usually like doing things. I do think they're like they wish. And of course they can do, but they've made up rules for themselves.
Well, they've maybe stunted it. Like I decided, not like just naturally, I think I was like, I always maintain that like kind of just having fun. Honestly, that quote, that Kate Moss quote, have fun all the time. Remember when her mom was like, you can't have fun all the time. And Kate Moss was like, why can't I, mom? Why can't I have fun all the time? And I was like, so true, Kate Moss.
Yeah. So true, Kate Moss.
So I was like, I'll have fun all the time. And then people think that you're being like a teenager, but like you can do that. Like you can act however you wish, like as long, you know, not hurting anyone, blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, but getting to a certain age doesn't mean you like forget your kind of like little lols. You know, like me and Jenny still like play, like we'll like make up like games and like.
It sounds silly.
It sounds borderline sexual. But like, say sometimes if we like get a sponsor for the pod, we're like, oh my God, like imagine if we got like.
Private jet.
Yeah. And then we're like pretending that we're like, imagine if we were like, got to like host the MTV Awards. Like, and I was wearing the, let's pretend we're hosting. And then we're like, hello, MTV. This is Lindsay.
But it's like, you do have to keep a childlike sensibility to you in some way to remain a fun and lighthearted person.
And to like connect with that innocence shouldn't go. And that like, because like it is a made up construct to be like, you know, because we hear it all
the time.
It's
to keep you in your place. Yeah. That's what it is. It's to keep you in your place. And I think, especially when it comes to like salary jobs, it's like, you know, you're doing something a little bit off the beaten track and we fucking hate that in Ireland. Like, we don't you're going to go and do your job that I know and that I know
that I understand
and how it is that I understand in my brain, because I would fucking hate for you as a woman to make money, first of all. And then second of all, I would fucking hate for you to make money off something that's unconventional and that I feel like I could do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that is just killing me deep inside. The fact that I have to watch you, a person, do it, something that I would like to do. So therefore, I'm going to take my spare time and pop it onto an online forum instead of maybe investing in myself. Okay, just really quickly.
True. Yeah, it's weird.
We're three chattel queens, the three of us.
I know.
They love us on there.
I know. We're so honored.
Thank you, guys.
I'm glad they deem us worthy, you know. But yeah, so I think like there is an expectation to act a certain way in your 30s that's definitely put on you like no other way in your 20s. You know, the way, like, I mean, I don't
it
think...
It probably was put on our parents when they were 20.
Now, I feel like it kind of wasn't. Randomly, I was talking to my mom
really?
Kind of about this at the weekend. And, like, you know, I was saying, like, I think, like, 20-year-olds nowadays, like, they do, like, especially, I'm more talking about, like, later half-20s. My brother's 28, and, like, I know some people around his age who'd be like, you know, like, but I'm only fucking 27. And I'm like, okay, yeah. 20, you're an adult, like, you know, like, you can't use your age as an excuse. At no. that age, in my opinion, you know, that way it's like you're a grown ass adult at that age, you know, and yeah, you're still figuring out shit. We all are. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when you get to a certain age, it's like when you see your parents as human beings, you're like, oh my God, you're 61 and you're still figuring shit out.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, like that's what fucking happens, you know.
I think the only time you should kind of talk about age is when you're talking about grooming or death. Like, those are really the only times yeah. that you should really bring an age as a factor into
Can we...
it.
Carla for president, and that's what you're first bringing in.
That's my first policy.
Yeah.
Second policy is bring cans onto every menu. I don't give a fuck if you're a wine bar.
Yes, thank you. You have my vote.
Where are the can bars?
Where are the tins bars, actually? I don't think that's a tapped in thing.
Where was it? I ate at a little Greek place the other week and I got a Heineken and he gave me it in a can and I was like, fair fucking
lady. Oh, I love that when they pop it out in the can.
Oh, I love it.
It's very something very holiday vibe. You know, they give you the little can, you put it in your glass. Yeah. Oh, so nice. And they're like so European amazing. That they have their cans from a glass. You
but
will,
it
you
is.
Play along.
I think you do like, you're definitely maintaining like that kind of playful aspect to life and keeping that like fun alive is really important. And it, you know, it's the same with relationships. Like you should be like, I always think of that. Remember that scene in The Notebook when she was like, but you don't play with Papa. Mama.
Carla's face.
I remember watching that when I was like Carla's 18. Like... bawling. Bawling. So hard.
No,
I
was like, that film was
and I was like, I need a man who I can play with.
Play with.
In the bedroom, but also maybe Barbies.
Wouldn't that be great if I could play Barbies with my boyfriend?
Well, you know when you're like randomly tumbling and got, or not tumbling, you're like play fighting with a guy.
Yeah, and then they dig you or something. You're like, what the you're like, fuck. It always turns into like an actual fight.
I think playing is important.
Oh no, you do.
I keep on thinking.
You gots to play.
You gots to play. Ain't no play I'm talking
have
about.
That fun, that spice, you know. You gotta be able to be silly around each other.
True.
You know,
silly billies
so,
in love.
Do you think... Do you think you're putting, and this is a question, an open question to the floor. Do you think you're putting any pressures on yourself in your 30s? Any expectations? Or do you think you've let them go?
See, my thing was, and this was the worst realization, is that I was like, if I am to get married and if I am to have kids, it will be in this decade.
It's annoying that way.
That's a hard one for women. Like that's
and that's hard to kind of, I think that's really hard for me as well, because it was something that I was totally able to shy away from in my 20s, because I'm, if you know me, you know, I'm not set on kids. It's not something mm-hmm. that I think that I want. It's not something I'll say never to, but it's not something that as I grow older that I've kind of like leaned a little bit more to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have.
It's not, yeah, no, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I keep thinking every year, I'm like, maybe, and there's been times where I've been like, maybe I'm not mature enough. Is that why? Is it because I'm like trying to grasp my youth? Or, you know, all these kind of conversations have come to my head. I'm like, Jesus, should I be, is there like, not, is there something wrong with me? But in a way, I'm like, is there something wrong with you?
I don't, no. I think that's put on women. Like, I mean, yeah. And I think it is frustrating that we obviously have like a shorter window to be able, so you, it's mm-hmm. the kind of fear, which I think, you know, women think like if I miss the window, then I don't want to be like in my 40s or whatever being like, why didn't I use those years? I read a great quote from Tracy Emin, my favorite artist, who over the weekend came out that she has been diagnosed with like a really intense cancer. And she has always said that she never wanted kids. She like documented through her art like abortions that she'd had and, you know, kind of documented her journey with, because it's up and down. I think anyone who like makes a choice like that, you're always like, am I going to regret this? What, you know,
it's
you don't
like
know.
It's like any choice, you know, there's always going to be a time where you're like, ah, if only I had that fucking kid.
But
you know,
she always kind of reinstills the fact that she kind of stood by her decision and she was glad that she made the choice not to have kids. And now when she was doing this interview, I think it was to The Guardian, and she was saying, I'm so glad I didn't have kids because at least I don't have to be in my dying bed, in my deathbed, and saying, mommy's dying, sweetheart. So I was like, I love that bitch. I love that even like she still kind of gives a dig, because I think like parents sometimes would kind of dig other people for choosing not to have kids. And then, but I love that Tracy Emin kind of uses, you know, that she didn't have kids as a dig to people who maybe did.
Yeah. I think
mommy's
like
dying.
The kids thing is probably the only, I'd be the same, Carla. Marriage, I'm like, whatever. I can get married when I'm 60.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You know, you can technically get married whenever, but like kids, it's like, you know, I think isn't it like over 35, your like chances of like holding any fertility you have just goes like, like it's like,
yeah, that was it to me. I was like, oh.
And also, well, I think what it is like, even if I was still like really fertile at like 36, 37, I'm like, do I want to be 10 and nearly have a 10-year-old and nearly 50? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like running.
That in itself is like, that in itself, I know people that are in their 40s and their late 40s that are fucking well able. Do you know what I mean? So I get it, because there is a stamina that you need to have, and there is whatever. But even that in itself, I'm kind of like, no, fuck it. Actually, if I'm chuffed,
well able,
I'd rather be happy at 40 than fucking mizzo at 35 but thinking that I had a kid.
True.
And I mean, like, my mom is like, she has more energy than any of us in my family. My
I guess what like, I mean is just with like, you know, your health, you know, how all it that is shit goes.
It's a
like
worry. For me, now I've got the kids out the way, and people still ask me if I have more, like, please, God. But if, not please God, I have another. That was like, please, the thoughts of that right now are a lot. Because I always had it. I was like, I'd love if me and Jenny were pregnant together. But
yeah, be great for the brand. Maybe you could surrogate for someone, because you're a great pregnant person.
I'm good at pregnancy, but you know, I do miss booze.
Yeah, but would you do it for like James Cavanaugh's baby or something? That'd be pretty glam.
Yeah, I would if I could, and I could live the birth.
Like, it gals kids or it kids.
Because pregnancy, it's the raising that's really gets in the way.
The raising.
Like, and I mean, it's when they're little squidges that's it's so intense, and you're waking up and, oh my gosh, you're feeding them all the time and your tits are hanging. But I will say that since I have got that out of the way, so that's not a thing in my 30s, I don't really need to think about too much. But I do think about, I think aging, it's my kind of thoughts on 30 are more the superficial stuff. I'm like, oh God, am I going to wake up one day and not be hot? Like, and that's the truth. That's what I kind of worry about.
That doesn't bother me as much.
I kind of think like, because when I just remember when I would be in school and I'd be like, oh, she's 30. She's old. You know, when you're in school, like in secondary school, where I think of like 40 is so old, and I'm like, I don't feel old. I don't think I look old, but will there be a day where I'm like, God, I miss my tight ass or whatever?
I'm sure there will be, but I think it's like, you know, although people say that, and then like, I don't look back in my 20s and be like, I miss when like my tits were like 4 centimeters higher. You know what I mean?
It's
I look back on it in like, oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
I think once you're having fun, like, I don't think like, first of all, I think as you grow older, like the superficial just matters less and less and less and less. And I'm sure you'll see a photo of yourself at one point being like, holy shit, I was a cracker with a great body, and here I was beating myself up over myself or whatever it is. But I don't think you'll ever be like you lived that life. The life was yours. So you didn't miss out on anything. You had every single year in that body.
I know. It's just mad when you see like someone really old and withered and you're like, it's mad. And then you hear like, he used to be gorgeous when he was younger. You're like, wow. It must be so weird going from gorge to not.
Well, you just take care of yourself. I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I'm trying. So that's kind of where my 30s came in.
Good.
That kind of helped. With the 20s, you're like, eating shit.
Oh, you're reckless as fuck.
Yeah, like you're like skincare. Mm-hmm. You like, none of that matters. You're just like going to sleep with your makeup. Remember, we were smoking inside in my bedroom. We'd be smoking then sleeping next to a big ashtray.
Mm-hmm. Like
my skin looked worse back then because it was so dehydrated and like not taken care of. So I think I just kind of am looking at my 30s being like, okay, you do have to look after yourself more. You have to eat well. You have to like make sure you're flipping, you know, doing the squats or whatever the fuck I'm doing in the gym, you know.
Yeah. I think it's like, well, I remember my mom said that in the podcast we did with her, where she was like, the age of 35, she's like, from 35 to 40 is when, if you're going to have any health issues, it could happen then. She's like, that's when my body started to be like, oh, I'm not like a young person anymore. And you know, she was like, so that's why like in your early 30s you should like try and conserve as much as your like health, you know, in whatever way you can, you know, because you want to like build up a longevity of your life, you know, because you know that would be the biggest thing. I wouldn't want to be turning around at 50 and being like, oh my God, I didn't take care of myself, and now I'm like, you know, touch wood, fucking can't get up the stairs or something. You know, like that's like worse than being like, I've got a few fucking wrinkles on my forehead. You know that
no,
way.
No, I mean in the you know, large sense as well of like totally, just like, yeah. Okay, I have to, you know, stretch. I'm stretching now. I stretch a lot.
Good woman.
It's starting to happen for me. Yeah, and it's funny because I feel like collectively we've never looked better.
Yeah.
100%. Like Jenny, your new hair, Lindsay, your skin's on fleek. Like I feel like even myself, the way that I've like refined my style, refined my makeup.
Yeah,
like,
your makeup's like, looking banging these days. Honey,
this hair look fucking flawless.
Yeah.
Why can't we get the rest of it together?
Well, yeah, I mean, and in my 20s, I remember thinking like, it's crazy. I'm never going to be hotter than I am at 23. And like, when I look at myself at 23 now, I'm like, oh my
I'm
God.
Shocked. My style was so intense.
Just everything about us at 23 was like wild as fuck. Like, why was I going around looking like that? And I thought I was like the hottest thing. I thought this was going to be my hottest year. So like, if anyone's in their mid 20s and they're feeling like that, don't worry. Your 30s are definitely sexier. I do feel. I think you and get I mean, a whole think, new vibe.
I think age is sexy. Yeah. I do think like with age comes knowledge, comes like, you know, you're just more knowledgeable about like loads of different things.
Mm-hmm. And nothing is as big
and like
of a
you
deal.
Said, like refining your style. That's a big thing in 30s. Mm. You know, I'm still kind of trying to tweak it a bit because, but like when I look back at, you know, me in my 20s, I'm like, wow, you were really out there walking around the streets like that.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering to look like that. Mm-hmm. And I think I was like, it was only last year that I was like, okay, I need to kind of switch up the style just a wee bit because I got on a bus and all these kids were coming out to Tomangos and I was dressed like those kids and they were like 17. I was like, okay, Lindsay, cop the fuck on. So
yeah,
I refined it slightly.
And it's like, you don't want to kind of like grab the skimpiest thing ever. But like what I find and what's so irritating is like anytime, like I have massive tits. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can do about that. I've giant tits. Even when I was slimmer, my tits were still massive.
Irish women have big tits and they don't cater for us in clothing.
Big titties. So like when I wear a V-neck, it looks like I've gotten them out, but I've not. Mm. Oh, tits out tonight. No, just tits in general are here. Don't
tits full stop.
Oh, I have to tell you this. Tits just, I live with them. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm wearing a square neck top. My tits look like a shelving unit.
It's so frustrating because you feel so like you're annoying. Being so raunchy when like now today I am being raunchy, but like they do just, they're there. And unless I wear like a high neck, they are pretty like looking like I'm getting the tits out for the lads. I'm like, no, I'm just, they're just there.
I'm just trying to be a person wearing a top. Like
I want to wear the top that everyone else is wearing.
Literally, I'm sorry that we're in a meeting, but like it's summer, I'm hot. Like I have to wear a t-shirt. I don't know what else to do for you. Like tits, this is not tits out. This is just me living my life. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry that you're all men and I'm sorry that the girls are fucking fuming, that my tits are a pie. Like I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I have to live. I'm too warm to be wearing anything
else. It's so hard. And sometimes what I haven't learned in my 33 years is the ability to online shop and realize, I'll show you this top, Jenny, that I got the other day. Like I bought it from Urban Outfitters. It's like a tie top. So it ties at the front, but there's two ties. My tits are squelching out. Like this is for like, I put it on and the tits are out. Like the nipples are like, out. Like it's absolutely inappropriate. I
that's
can't,
a
like,
fun
there's
game.
Nowhere.
Something we haven't, what have we learned in our 0 to 30?
So I will still look at stuff and it's always with like, tit stuff. Like I'll go on ASOS and I'm like, that's a
it's
gorgeous dress.
Tit stuff. And then never I'm like, our stuff.
Why am I, how can I not compute that like a deep plunge? I can't fucks with a deep plunge. I look, it's too intense. It really is for me. It just, I can't go anywhere. Like on a date, it's too much.
Big titty problems. What can I say?
Yeah. So that's something I haven't learned. The ability to like, not think I am the model in the, on ASOS.
Yeah.
Not think that I'm flat chested.
Like I do,
overthink the situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, right.
Like these tits have been around for, and they're not going anywhere.
No.
So what about you, Jenny?
What have I not learned?
What do you find yourself still being like, ooh, lol?
I mean, it's probably as well something similar to online shopping that I probably don't need it ever.
Mm.
I don't need it. Yeah. I don't need it. I don't need 58 pairs of jeans.
You do, in a way.
You do, but you really, really don't. I haven't learned, like, to really... Like, I'm good with my money, but I haven't learned to, like, really rein it in. Like, I thought I was getting really good recently. And then, like, Evan was talking to someone recently, and he was like, you know, he was saving for his mortgage. He'd take 50 euro out of the ATM every week for 2 years. And that was it. I was like... For what, I mean, his Leap card or top up? Like,
so he would only spend 50 euro a week.
Yep.
You see, like, I couldn't live like that. I would have such an unenjoyable 2 years. I couldn't do it. I know it probably I'd have a gaff, but like, fuck that. I need for self-care. Everyone's talking about the gym. My little package coming every other week. That really does fulfill me in a certain type of way, and I'm not ashamed.
What about you, Carla? Anything that you feel you haven't nailed yet?
I think this is one that's just in general, and I think it's something that I learned, but I need other people to learn too. If it doesn't look good on the model, it's not going to look good on you.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, and I don't know why I ever think I'm going to be hotter than the model.
Why do I like think that, like, she's hired to do this. This is her profession. And you were flicking around at midnight on a Tuesday.
I'm like, I could pull it off.
Or like, you know, when you zoom in and you can see... Like the material's really bad material. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'd say it looks deadly in person. Why? Or it look better in person.
Or I love when I pretend to, I fool myself and I consciously forget that they pin all the clothes at the back to make it fit them perfectly. I'm like, wow, look at the fit on that. It comes to me, it's like a big fucking sack on me. I'm like, what the actual fuck?
Oh God, I miss actual shopping and being able to try and stuff. But, I think we had this conversation before, Carla, before you go. One thing that I think, and you, Jenny, as well, I think that we collectively learned was kind of, I think in my 20s, I was like, would get so bowled over if a friend of mine had like a Louis Vuitton bag or, you know, designer splurgy things. And I think designer has changed so much in the years that
it's the same
quality as Zara a lot of the time. Like the reason people bought Chanel bags back in the day was because they were so beautifully crafted, but now they're kind of not crafted the same way and they're not as amazing as they were. So you're buying a bag which is the same quality as you could get in like just a random kind of high street store, but like it's, I think that is something that I've kind of just got over.
Yeah.
And in my later 20s when I did have a bit more like disposable cash and I would be like trying to get my little designer bits and it really filled me up with something, but I think now I'm like, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I think something I learned definitely, and I think I've nailed it, away from shopping, if you don't mind, girls, for once.
But
would be that not everyone I get on with has to be my best mate. I feel like when in my 20s, if I met anyone that I kind of clicked with, I would like expect us to become like best friends, and then if they didn't reciprocate it or they already had their group of friends, or like if it didn't go that well, I'd be like really hurt and really offended and kind of like, what the fuck, like why can't we be best friends? Like I felt like every single friendship had to go to like, wow, like it's like
a level of like, yeah, yeah, you're so close.
It was like all or nothing. Like we're either gonna be best friends or we're not fucking mates. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like that was how it was for me. I was like, you're either in my circle, you're fucking out of my circle, man. But like I feel like now that I'm older, I realize like I can meet someone and, you know, we can have a great old time on a night out. And I don't have to text them. Like, sometimes I'd even put a pressure on myself of like, okay, I really want to follow up in this friendship, you know? Like, I think I felt like I really, and like, that's a thing you do, and it's healthy to do in your 20s, is like accumulate loads of friends, find out about, you know, get to know loads of different types of personalities to know which ones suit you. But now I think in my 30s, I'm kind of like, have me mates. I'm grand. Every now and again, I might meet someone that I'm like, oh, we could be really good friends. But most of the time, I'm grand with acquaintances. And yeah, that is... all good.
I think like the main thing for me, and it sounds so cliche and I hate saying it, but it's something that I know I've mastered, and it's like to the point where people are like, you really, really don't give a fuck what people think about you. And I'm like,
you're
no,
good at
I'm,
that
I'm unbelievable, like I'm a master of that, because no one has to live my life.
Oh, you said that to me in a voice note a while ago and I was like, yeah, dabbing in the middle of Malahide Village. I was like, Carla, that is so true. She's like, no one else has to live your life but you. So why would you care what anyone else thinks? I was like,
so true.
Holy shit.
But like, why would you? Like, and I think that's so, like, it's so imperative to be able to get through and to be able to kind of like, and especially even in the job that we do and like the stuff that we do and all that kind of crack. And I know sometimes people are like, it's not going to get you far in life sometimes, not caring what people think about you. But oh my God, you'll be so happy.
Yeah.
So I just... it's, you just can't, like, they, that no one will ever give a flippant comment or a shitty thing that is said behind your back or any of that kind of stuff. Like, that will play on you so much more than it ever played on them.
Yeah.
They didn't really care why they were saying it or who they were saying it to. It was just flipping comment. Everybody does it, as we all know. And like, it just is what it is. So the minute that you stop putting any weight or any resolve into that, you're just going to feel 10 times lighter.
Yeah.
And I think like another thing, and this is something that for people that are out that are single, and it seems like such a, again, a cliche thing to say, but like, you're not going to find a man or a partner and everything falls into place.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like,
yes,
that is huge. And so many times when I'm like chatting to people, like, even if I'm messing and I'm like, well, at least I live in my dad's back room. They're like, yeah, but you have a boyfriend. And I'm like, that's not an achievement.
I mean, a long-term relationship isn't an achievement, and a healthy relationship isn't an achievement.
Yeah.
I cannot say the word, let alone.
Maintaining it is. Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's not like, it's not the pinnacle that we hold it to.
It's not. And I think as well, like, a lot of single people, especially when they're kind of getting their 30s, they just want a relationship because of that social ideology of it being like, you know, it's tough being single because you really, it's the way society views you.
Yeah.
People are always waiting for to hear that you have a boyfriend. I'm like, why the fuck do you care?
It's if,
like,
it's, is he
a
the
different
one?
Guy every year? Why does that bother you, my aunt? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, the thing is, like, about relationships, we put this weird, like, say what Carla was saying, like, it's not an achievement. And I think what she means is, like, you know, some of the worst people I've known have had boyfriends. Like, you don't have to be, it doesn't mean that you've achieved this higher evolved level of human being. It just means you've met someone who fancies you, who'll put up with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a boyfriend is.
That's all to do with our ego, though. And yeah, it's about, like, that lust of someone wanting long-term with you, you know? And, like, and even, you know, it's to do with this whole kind of, like, and somebody liked you enough they wanted to marry you.
Yeah,
oh, my God,
yeah.
That is insane. And, like, it comes back to that. And I think as women as well, I think we're getting better. We're not as shitty as we were. And we're not as shitty to each other as we were. But even sometimes when you're having a laugh at your mates out of spite, they'll be like, and she's a fucking fella. And I'm like, okay. It's
yeah. Yeah. Like, how did she get a fella? And I don't. It's like, what a pointless.
Anyone who says that, that's why you don't have a fella.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you see it as something to get.
Yeah.
You know, like,
or that it proves something about yourself if you have one. It doesn't prove fucking anything. As I said, some of those horrible people I fucking have known in my life have been married.
Have great relationships.
Yeah.
But, or like long-term relationships. But I think as well with a lot of people who are like, you know, oh, if I just had a boyfriend, like you were saying, I think it's not that they want a boyfriend. They want someone, they want some purpose. They want someone who's going to drive them places and pay for meals out and take them away because they're, you know, so it's like you just want a carer, kind of a hot carer. And don't we all
carer with a boner,
like, we all want
a carer with a boner, like fucking Kylie Jenner has with her bodyguard.
Oh really? She's shagging him, is she?
I don't think so, but he's a ride and he looks like Stormy.
He's
and
fabulous.
There was that whole conspiracy.
Okay, so girls, I think we'll leave it there, shall we? Carla, thank you so much for coming on. You were
not
a pleasure, as always.
Dying to see you IRL.
Yes. But Carla, thank you so much, guys. You can go follow Carla, obviously, on Instagram. You all know her Instagram. You all know her podcast. It's The Unpopular Opinion if you want more to hear more from her.
Yes, from her and Jen. They such a funny podcast. And, you know.
And we were on their Patreon one, so.
Yeah, we were.
There you go.
And that was a fucking lit episode.
That was a fun episode.
That was
lockdown as well, man. It's been a minute since we've been in this shit show.
Yeah, it's fucking
that
crazy.
It was a juicy one.
So, girls, go check out Carla everywhere. And Carla, thank you so much for coming on.
Okay.
Thank you, my angel.
Thanks, Annie. Bye, girls. Bye.